It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Ricker.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll talk with a guest who's out to minimalize her life with a 33-item closet.
But first, 11 years after the U.S. invaded Iraq, the country is on fire as Sunni insurgents sweep into major cities, the death toll mounts, and citizens try to flee the violence.
How should the United States respond to the crisis? Yesterday, Secretary of State John Kerry acknowledged that airstrikes on Iraqi targets are under consideration. No answer will probably be an easy one as the administration faces criticism at home and abroad, and the baggage of the 2003 Iraq invasion continues to stir up emotions.
To walk us through the options on the table is Mike McAuliffe, senior congressional correspondent at Huffington Post. Mike, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Well, today, British Prime Minister David Cameron has called the ISIS insurgency the most serious threat to Britain's security that there is today. How serious a threat to the U.S. is ISIS politically and also in terms of national security?
Well, I think politically, it's an incredibly difficult issue. And you got a great illustration of that today at the microphones when the Senate leaders had their press conferences. Neither Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader, nor Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader, had a course of action that they were willing to talk about or recommend. I asked Mitch McConnell directly what he thought the United States should do, and he said, well, I want to hear what the president has to say, because the leaders are going to go over to the White House, I believe, tomorrow and get some sort of briefing. And, you know, the only thing Harry Reid said was, well, we're not going to go back in there. We're not going to go put people and forces back in there. We made that mistake once already. So you get the sense from both sides that there is not an appetite to go back in, but you don't get the sense of what the solution is. And that has a lot to do with the politics here in the United States, I think.
Well, President Obama has ruled out troops on the ground in large numbers. Right now, there are troops on the ground. They seem to be largely there to protect the embassy in Baghdad. And with that off to the side, that seems to leave airstrikes as the option for now. What would the goal be with U.S. airstrikes?
Well, the goal with airstrikes would be to somehow, you know, degrade these forces, slow them down, stop them from taking over more land and more territory. I mean, recently they've taken over, I forget how much of the sort of banking system up there in the north, but you know, something like $400 million seized from the banks up there in Mosul. You know, I mean, that can all be funneled back in to, you know, fuel their operations. So, you know, I guess the idea would be use airstrikes, slow that down, don't let them build up their forces to be a more significant threat sitting there, sort of on the border, the Turkey near Iraq and Iran, where it's obviously pretty volatile to begin with.
And one of the problems with airstrikes, though, seems to be that the insurgents, the fighters are mingled with civilians. So how does that get handled?
Well, that has been handled very poorly so far. I mean, in the places where we've used drones, for instance, in Yemen, in Pakistan, there's all kinds of collateral damage. And if you listen to a lot of the lawmakers who are mostly Democrats, but some Republicans, they look at that and they see, you know, creating new enemies as much as slowing down old ones. But, you know, again, that's another one where it cuts both ways, where you have people say, well, better to be, you know, costing a few extra of theirs than to have our boots on the ground. So is one of those cases where the politics aren't really that clean, although, I mean, you'll find more Republicans saying do more and more Republican or more Democrats saying be more cautious.
Well, let's get a little bit caught up on what's happening today. ISIS is supposedly engaged about 40 miles north of Baghdad. How would you describe the threat to Baghdad right now?
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, I'm a little bit out of touch with that specific level of detail, but from what I've heard, there's a lot of fear. There are people fleeing. There are, you know, just sort of that tremendous level of uncertainty. And a lot of it depends on whether you're a Sunni or a Shiite, too. I mean, you've got a Sunni insurgency. So if you're a Shiite, you're going to be very scared, right?
And in terms of Baghdad itself, if the militants, the insurgents reach Baghdad and Baghdad falls, what's at stake?
Well, what's at stake is, well, obviously control of the capital. For the United States, we have that huge embassy and compound there. They would have to get all of that out of there. I don't know how you would defend that if you were surrounded by an offshoot of al-Qaeda, a former branch of al-Qaeda that even al-Qaeda occasionally distanced itself from these days. It would be extremely difficult, and, you know, what do? You just blow it all up? I really don't know the answer to that. I asked Senator Jay Rockefeller, who used to head the Intelligence Committee and was very involved in the original vote to go into Iraq, and I, you know, what do you do now, Senator? And he was like, well, right now there's nothing good to do, and probably the best thing to do is leave it alone. He thought that it was really much more of an internal issue, and that they'll eventually work it out, and you certainly have to be on your guard, but he thought going back in or getting more involved or firing, you know, airstrikes and things like that may actually make it worse.
And why? What's the feeling on that? Why would that be?
Well, because it's fundamentally a conflict within Iraq, a sectarian conflict within Iraq. And having the United States come in, which is seen as an enemy by many people there, Shiite and Sunni alike, only complicates the issue in terms of sort of explaining how the world is sort of looking at the place, because you've got bombs going off, and as you said before, it'd be a lot of the killing would be indiscriminate. It wouldn't be clean. It couldn't be surgical, even though they use that phrase. So you end up creating more problems on both sides than you would necessarily solve. Now, that being said, he was very aware of the potential of it becoming another sort of Afghanistan where you have a bit of a haven. He didn't seem to think that would necessarily happen, but he was ready to admit that was a possibility.
Now, back here stateside, President Obama has been criticized for having a hand in all this, for not negotiating a stronger U.S. presence when the U.S. officially withdrew. How culpable is the president, do you think?
Well, I think it's hard to lay too much blame on the president. Al-Maliki, the current leader there, has sort of run the word partisan keeps popping into my head, it's up here on Capitol Hill, but it's really much more, he's been sort of dedicated towards the sort of Shiite side of things, and he has not brought the Sunnis into the government. So, you know, if you're Obama and you can't cut a deal with this person who is sort of got his own agenda, you know, how much is that your fault? You know, how much of the blame does one half of the negotiation get? Especially when you were picking up where your predecessor left off. You know, you can probably level some of the blame on him, but I would imagine that you probably want to go back to the folks who started it all before you start blaming the guy who tried to clean it up.
Well, one question on the table right now as the U.S. considers its options is, should the U.S. coordinate efforts with Iran? Iran seems to be willing. How do you expect to see that unfolding?
You know, I actually I laughed when I first heard that. They were meeting on the nuclear issue, and then they had a little side meeting on Iran, or on Iraq with Iran. And, you know... you probably have to deal with whoever you can to try and prevent the situation from becoming as bad as some people fear it might be. And if that happens to be Iran, well, then you talk to Iran. I mean, it is a little bit ironic that considering all the heated verbiage flung Iran's way, that now we might be in a position to need them to control a situation that's getting out of hand in Iraq and in Syria.
Now, in our last minute here, Mike, in a piece you wrote for the Huffington Post yesterday, you analyzed how the rationales for going into the 2003 Iraq War have changed over the years. Tell us what you found.
Well, you know, if you remember back to 2002 and 2003, it was all about we need to stop, you know, the next Hitler from arising and using weapons of mass destruction to destroy the United States or harm our allies. Well, you know, as we all know, no WMD were found, and Saddam really didn't seem to pose all that much of a threat. So folks are now, mostly folks who want to blame Obama for the way things are now, are saying that 4,500 Americans died to liberate Iraq. Well, yeah, I mean, in effect, they did, but they didn't go there to do that. They went there to go stop Iraq from being able to harm the United States, even though that was a phantom mission. So it's a little interesting to find folks sort of ignoring what it was all started for and then coming back so they can blame Obama for wasting all that effort.
And we're going to leave it there. Mike, thank you so much for joining us.
All right. Thanks for having me on.
That was Mike McAuliffe, senior congressional correspondent at Huffington Post.